This is The Lunch Bunch with Andrew Hawthorne and Company on VOCM. For the next half hour, we will peek behind the big stories we are all talking about today. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now your host of The Lunch Bunch, Andrew Hawthorne.
Welcome. It is Friday out there. I think we've weathered all kinds of seasons today. It was a beautiful winter morning, and now it's a beautiful spring afternoon. I'm going to take the optimistic side of that and say spring rather than fall. And we're heading right back into winter. Who knows? We've got a bit of a special episode here today. This weekend, we're going to be having the vigil to remember victims of suicide, people who've died by suicide, and of course, survivors. That's going to be taking place at St. Mark's Church on Logie Bay Road on Sunday at 7:30. And I've got some of the organizers here, and this is a personal issue for all of us, I think, in the room today. Of course, here at VOCM, we're remembering our own Meech Cain, who died 2 years ago. But with me today, we have the organizers of the vigil, Kim Kelly and Tina Davies. Hello. How are you today?
Hello, Andrew.
And also Reverend Rob Cook of St. Mark's. Hi.
Hi, Andrew.
Welcome. So, Kim, you are a social worker by trade.
Absolutely.
And you two have been doing this. You and Tina have been doing this for 15 years.
This is the 15th year.
Yeah. Wow.
So my brother Brendan died by suicide 19 years ago, a long time ago. I was much younger and much slimmer when that happened.
Probably all.
And, it was a few years before this vigil had happened. It was actually at a suicide intervention conference hosted by Assist NL that there was a man named Barry McGale there from Ireland who told us about what happened in Ireland. And, you know, my mind was going, why can't we do that here? Of course, they do it outside and in December, you know,
a vigil like that in Ireland?
Yeah,
wow.
They do. Yeah, they do it all over the world, actually, in many places on this same Sunday because it's the international day, really, to remember all children who have died. There are many names. People call it different things, but that's why we do it on this Sunday. And it's so important now as everybody is hustle and bustling for Christmas and there's such joy in the Christmas season. Not everybody has that same joy at Christmas. And so this vigil is a really good time for people to, you know, kind of be at peace with themselves and their loss before they start preparing for the Christmas season. It's almost in the church, Rob might call at the advent of Christmas, right? And so it's so important. But this vigil is really important to remember all people who died by suicide, but just as important, it's to support those who are left behind after suicide. Because we have such issues in the community, like even today, today is December 6th, so we remember those women who were killed in the Montreal massacre. And, you know, strangers come and remember those women at the engineering building today, this evening at Mon. And so many of our own community are afraid to come out and support us, the survivors of suicide loss. And so I really want to encourage community members to come out and support those who they know who've lost a loved one to suicide. I know what today is my mom's birthday.
So oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Sheila, my mother.
So. Happy birthday, Sheila.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no greater gift for my mother than when somebody remembers my brother, Brendan, and for someone to come to the vigil or for someone to mention his name. There is no greater gift than that.
You know, the way you said it a second ago, finding some peace as we lead into the holiday season, you know?
Yeah.
There's two levels when we talk about survivors of suicide. You know, we talk about people who have been in that place in their own lives but come through it, but also we talk about the people left behind. And saying, like, to find that peace, as we know, Christmas can be a very, because it's so happy and traditionally happy, it can be a very dark time if you're not in that same place. And so, like, to introduce an element to this season that is particularly focused on bringing peace to people who aren't feeling the season otherwise is really something. I'd like to just and I'm going to say this a couple times throughout, mention that if you're having an issue or with what we're talking about, or if you're relating to what we're talking about or something, of course, there's a lot of people you can talk to in addition to us. If this show is helping you, I hope it is. The Mental Health Crisis line is at 737-4668 or toll-free at 7376-4668. I'm going to try that one again. 888-737-4668. 4668. So for those of you who may be struggling with some of these issues, please check those out. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're talking about the vigil for people who've died by suicide that's happening this Sunday at St. Mark's Church. Stay tuned.
This is the Lunch Bunch on VOCM. Now back to Andrew Hawthorne and the Lunch Bunch on VOCM.
Welcome back. We are speaking with the organizers of the vigil for people who have died by suicide. That's going to be happening at St. Mark's Church this Sunday at 7:30 p.m. And throughout this show, of course, we're going to be talking about some pretty intense issues for a lot of people. So if you have an issue with that, the Mental Health Crisis Line is at 737-4668 here in town. Rob, you're the Reverend at St. Mark's Church, and this is a personal issue for you, as it is for all of us here in the room. Why did you decide to take part with the vigil this year and host it there?
Actually, it's a coming back to the vigil for me, because when I was a chaplain at the university back in, I guess it was 2007. I just got involved as a chaplain with no real connection. I hadn't lost anyone to suicide. And when my time at MUN was over, we kept in contact, but I wasn't involved. So then 2 years ago, my dad died by suicide. And so part of my healing process was going to the vigil. And that first year that I went back, it was very, very raw for me, but it was a big part of the moving forward, the healing. And so last year when I went to both Kim and Tina and said, next year, this needs to be at St. Mark's. Because I just feel so personally involved. And I know the people at St. Mark's, too, because of my experience. And then there's other people as well who have lost a loved one to suicide. This is an important ministry for us to be there for people.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously for all of you, part of your healing process with this and how you've incorporated it into your life is with outreach, with ministry, and talking about it. And it's an area that a lot of people have trouble talking about. Why, like Tina and Kim, why did you decide that you wanted to be so open with this pain?
Because nobody else was. And it's something that needs to be spoken about. We need to get rid of the stigma of speaking about suicide. And because it's so hard for people who are having suicidal thoughts to reach out for help if there's that stigma and shame surrounding it. So the more we speak about it, the more open we are about this subject, the easier it is for people to reach out. And when you lose someone that you love to suicide, the people surrounding that person who's died by suicide are at a significantly higher percentage to do exactly the same thing themselves, because it becomes a viable option.
Yeah.
Very viable option. I'm talking like huge for the first 1 or 2 years after. So it's really important to, it's called postvention, but it's actually a form of prevention, because we're preventing those who are left after. When that person dies, their pain is gone. It's left with us.
Sure. Postvention, because it's after the event.
Exactly.
But prevention, because you're stopping the next one.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's something because, you know, it is something that people want to talk about and remove the stigma, obviously. But there's also always the specter of contagion and of, as you say, people close by who are hurting. We're very aware of that in the media, and sometimes we get criticized by not talking about it enough. A couple years ago when we had our own tragedy here in the newsroom, I wrote a piece about one of the things that shocked me when I went into news is that this is happening all the time. Like it's not something that happens once a year or once every couple of months. It's every other week.
Yes.
And we don't cover it because of contagion, because of mental illness, and ideas can become a contagious thought. And we need to be able to cover it in a way that's healing and not damaging. And that's what we worry about. How do we talk about this appropriately? How do we talk about this in a healing way that is able to protect people who are suffering from these illnesses?
Well, Oh, go ahead. Okay. Kim.
I think there's a couple of things. One is that we need to always mention the person's name. I think that we're always afraid to do that. And I think the other thing we need to do is for those out there who don't know how to support their friend or their sister who's lost, you know, their son or whoever it is, their husband, their father, you know, people need to make conscious efforts to go to that person and make conversation. You know, so often in Newfoundland, we're so good at saying, you know, how are you doing? Just give me a call if you want to talk to me. Well, you know what? People aren't always able to do that, and they really need conscious efforts for people to come and say, you know, come out for coffee. Or, you know, I have a woman I know who has a, you know, has a gathering on her son's birthday because she said that's what he would have done, and that's how she remembered. So there's lots of ways. I think most often when a suicide happens, we tend to focus on the suicide and that people died by suicide. What we're forgetting about is all the good things, like about Meech, all the great reporting that he did, the stories, the great person he was.
Their life.
Right? Their life. Yes. And it's so important to have legacy for the person who died. And I think people are often afraid to do that when it comes to suicide. And so we want to change that, right? We really want to yeah. change that concept.
First of all, I would say that for media to responsibly report about suicide is don't include the manner of...
Absolutely.
You know,
I agree.
Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. Use their name, but don't include the manner. But it is a myth that talking about suicide will cause suicide. It doesn't. That is an age-old myth that speaking about suicide will cause suicide. That it's not true. Suicide crosses every single socioeconomic border. It doesn't matter what color, what race, what gender, what
education,
how much,
yes, or income level.
Yes, yeah. It doesn't matter. And if you think that it's not going to happen to you, I'm telling you, think again, because it does. It happens, and it's so shocking.
Yeah.
It's so shocking, you don't expect that. It's okay for everybody else, right?
You know,
it just won't stay in your mind.
I remember at the time, and any of you may relate to this as well, and this is where I talk about contagion and things, and it is a myth, but I spoke with somebody who was saying that, you know, Meech, for us, was a very dynamic person. He was an incredible reporter. He was all over the place, and he was very popular. And what was expressed to me was that if somebody that happy and bright in public, you know, like the life of the party, if they couldn't bear this burden, then how can I? And that was expressed to me at the time, that it was the fact of somebody's public persona, which doesn't always be telling you what is happening inside. You know, that dichotomy, when people see that, is something that can trigger something in them. And especially, as you say, when you talk about the manner, ideation is about the manner more so than about the act. And so those are things that we're wary of when we talk about those things.
I think it's important, too, about language. You know, I'm not comfortable with the word victim, for example.
Absolutely,
I'm more
yeah.
of a, you know, I like better the person who died by suicide. And also, I'm, you know, I don't like to hear the word committed suicide. So, viewers, I ask this to change with you. You know, it's because committed, you know, when it speaks to negative things about maybe a committed crime, and it further pushes the person away. So some different things to use would be died by suicide, you know, died by their own hand, took their own life. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's many different ways, right?
Right.
Yeah, and that's something that's changed a lot, really only in the last few years. And, yeah. and there are great media guides available online on how to more appropriately talk about these things that have been formed with advocates and things. And this comes from kind of the way that we've thought about these issues over the years and how that's changed in terms of mental illness becoming something that, like a physical illness, that
right.
we deal with more. And also, you know, the stigma of suicide attached in a religious way, you know, committed, when we would say that, is about, you know, you say it's like a crime, and that's kind of how it was treated, that this was a version of manslaughter or murder, and that's how we think about it, rather than as we would think about somebody dying from a long physical illness after cancer or something like that.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of where the dialogue seems to have moved now. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, the military almost calls it, you know, the struggle within, right? That a person, if a person has cancer, they struggle, they've lost their battle to cancer. Well, you know, for the person who's died by suicide, they'd lost the battle with whatever it is, with depression or pain or, you know, they've lost the struggle within themselves. So in a way, it's that loss of struggle, right, that, you know, that still brings such pain.
Exactly. And another thing, too, you know, is people who die by suicide may or may not be mentally ill. Like, they may be depressed or they may not be depressed. So it's not, you don't only take your life if you have a mental illness. I just want to make sure that that's out there, because, you know, you would be amazed at what goes through a person's head when a loved one of theirs dies by suicide. Every single thing that goes through your head is wondering why this. And you do almost like we call it a psychological autopsy for the time leading up to, right up to the suicide, yeah. You know? And it's tough, but for people to believe that their loved one had a mental illness, sometimes that's shameful. That makes them feel shameful. Okay, so we make a point of saying that not everyone who has depression dies by suicide, but not everybody who dies by suicide has depression.
The conversation on mental illness has changed a great deal in the
Absolutely.
Last few years as
yes.
well. We're going to go to a quick break. When we get back, we're going to continue this conversation, but I do want to reiterate, if you're having an issue with anything we're talking about, or if any of this is really hitting you in perhaps the wrong way today, the Mental Health Crisis Line, 709-737-4668. We'll be right back.
It's your town, and Linda Swain has it covered. On Target, St. John's, coming up today at 1, right after the Lunch Bunch, here on VOCM. Now back to Andrew Hawthorne and the Lunch Bunch on VOCM.
We're back. We're talking about the vigil to remember those who've died by suicide. That's going to be happening at St. Mark's Church in Logie Bay here in St. John's this Sunday. It's the first time it's happening at St. Mark's Church, Rob. And you were saying before that the church's attitude on this, we were talking about the religious connotations of suicide and these issues before, but you were saying that the church's attitude has changed a lot, as all of our attitudes have in the last few years. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, the church hasn't always been helpful when it comes to being there for people who have lost loved ones to suicide. It's contributed to some of the shame and sometimes even the blame that goes along with suicide. And some of that, it's misreading of particular scripture texts. So I think this is why it's really important for this vigil to be held in a church, because especially here in Newfoundland, I mean, there's still a pretty deep faith commitment here in Newfoundland. And so the fact that this service is being held in a church, I think, is making a statement.
Absolutely.
About, you know, how as religious communities, and in particular Christian communities, are trying to be more open and inclusive and provide an opportunity for people to talk. Because if you can't talk about the loss of a loved one and you got to hide it away, how can you ever heal? How can you ever
you
move
can't.
Forward?
Yeah.
So, you know, to create opportunities for people to talk, shine light on this, I think, is really important. And for the church to be involved, I think, is super important.
We should mention, too, it's an ecumenical, you know, non-denominational thing. It's not a particular church service of any stripe. But is, like, having it involved in the church makes a lot of sense. It's supposed to be offering, you know, comfort to people. So, so of course, that's what people are looking for. But, Tina, you had a story about somebody exactly about this kind of stigma that you're describing that came in. You want to recount
sure,
that?
Sure, yeah. It was years ago. And I always call Patty on open line the Friday before about this. And one year I had called him and spoken. My number is always there for anyone to call. It's open. And I leave it with the people who answer the phone at open line. If anybody needs to contact me, to call me. So they called me after I was on, and they said, this lady wants to speak with you. Can we give her your number? I said, of course. So they did, and she called me. It's from a remote community here in the province, and she had lost her son 25 years ago and wasn't able to speak about it. Not that she didn't want to, but she wasn't able to speak about it.
Within the community?
Yeah, within her own home even.
Wow.
So, and his room was still the same.
25 years.
Yeah. So I think we were on the phone for about 2.5 hours. And it wasn't that year, but it was a couple of years later that she came. She traveled the whole province to come to our vigil. And you should have seen her face. It was wonderful to see, because it was like she died and she went to heaven, because she was amongst everybody who understood exactly how she was feeling. And she talked and talked and talked and talked. And it was, she healed so much that day. You know, it was amazing.
And it's important, you know, what you're describing, you know, for people who are thinking about coming or thinking about what we're talking about with this kind of vigil, you're not describing something painful. You're not describing something somber. You're describing healing and joy.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, who wouldn't have joy by listening to Shelley Neville,
yes,
and Peter Halley?
Exactly.
They've been involved with us now for 13. This year will be 14 years that they've been involved with us. And of course, we have music by Judy Brazel, well known to many of us as a performer, and the lovely Shannon Power, who's always also a good singer. We learned about her at a vigil they do in St. Joseph's, which follows the model. So there's actually two vigils that happen in Newfoundland and Labrador. This one started by Beth Fleming.
Yes.
You know, and it happens during Suicide Awareness Month.
September.
September. But one of the things that's really important about the vigil is people bring a frame picture of their loved ones. So we actually see the many faces. And so it makes suicide real, right? But it makes our loved ones real. Their picture is there, and we light candles and we say their names.
Like you say, focusing on the life.
Yeah, on the life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And you'll see there's men and women, people of all different backgrounds and
ages,
genders, and all different things. Yeah, for sure.
Thank you so much for being on the show today. We've got a clue up, but the vigil is going to be this Sunday, December 8th. It's 7:30 p.m. at St. Mark's Church, and I encourage anybody to go. It sounds like it's going to be a really important event. So thank you very much for being on the show today.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you. Remembering all people who died by suicide.
Yes.
And those left behind.
Yep, that's been your Lunch Bunch show for today. I hope you have a really good weekend.